Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Dan Bach talks to the biggest personalities in DFS, delivers commentary on the industry's most important topics, and gives you the advice you need to help build winning lineups.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head games, you are just going to lose.
You didn't really think we were going to get rid of that, did you?
Here's your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Dan Bach with the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix podcast for you on this Tuesday. Hopefully things are going well in your world, whether it's daily fantasy or just life in general. You know, I think we need to look at things on a half full type of side of things. It's funny because we live in this world, everything seems to be so polarizing. It's so black, it's so white. And not to go all Kanye West on you, but be happy with what you got. And you know, if things don't work out, don't try and find people to blame. Try and do better the next time. That's the best advice I can give you, whether it's DFS or anything that you're doing in life. So there we go. Going deep here in the opening segment of the show. But again, if you played basketball last night, I think I predicted it, did I not? Like, we had a 1,000-way tie on DraftKings for the 100K. So instead of 100K, you won like $250. So I knew that was going to happen. It's going to happen all NFL, NBA playoffs long. Hopefully they can adjust something in the scoring to maybe prevent that from happening. Again, I'm not game ops by any measure, but that's not a good experience, I think, for people to be winning first place in a payout that's supposed to be $100,000 and winning $200. But that's the format they set up. So we'll see if any adjustments are made, because I think, especially when you get to the NBA Finals, like, that is what they're going to be offering. It's going to be showdown slate. It's going to be single game slate. So between now and then, you know, we're going to have a handful of these games, but hopefully they can make some adjustments to make it a little bit better experience. But today we're going to look at baseball. We'll talk a little bit about basketball. It is a two-game slate, so maybe a little bit better chance to diversify our lineups. But tonight in baseball, it is about as loaded of a slate as you're going to have for starting pitching today. If you can't find a starter that you don't like, well, then maybe you should be picking another sport to be playing, because you get the best of the best out there today. The question is, do we jam them in? Do we try and find some names a little bit lower down so we can get some bigger names? I think this is I really like this slate because there's a lot of ways you can go about building it. And yes, we're going to have some really expensive pitchers who I guess are quote-unquote chalk, but at least we've got like four or five of them to choose from today. The worst is when you've got Chris Sale on an island game and you know that everybody's going to go there. Well, that's not the case for us today. So let's get into it today. Let's get to our starting pitching. Then we'll go through the bats and wrap things up with a little bit of NBA talk. So here we go. In terms of the pitching, we got Kershaw. We've got Scherzer today. We've got Noah Syndergaard. We got Chris Sale. We've got Verlander. Do we need to jam two of these guys in? I think in your cash games, you absolutely do. If you're on DraftKings or Fantasy Draft on FanDuel, it's a matter of, you know, picking the right one or maybe even potentially splitting lineups. I know in cash games, that's not something people like to do all that much, but I don't hate it in this situation, potentially. So if I have to pick one today, I think it's going to be Chris Sale. I'm going to also kind of wait and see what some of the K props end up checking in at. But he is in a pretty good spot here today going against the Kansas City Royals. This is really a pretty punchless lineup. And, you know, you look back at, you know, the game last night, Eduardo Rodriguez obviously got into a bunch of trouble early on, could not find the strike zone, settled down a little bit after that. But all in all, you know, pretty good hitting performance yesterday. That doesn't scare me at all here against Sale, who's one of the premier starting pitchers here in this league. You've got an offense with the Kansas City Royals, which the lineup is just trash right now. I mean, especially, like, you know, Moustakas might end up not playing here again today. And, you know, that's just more advantageous potentially there to Sale. Now, it is lefty on lefty, and he's literally, you know, unhittable, an 0.75 ISO to lefties. But, you know, who's really good against lefties there? Sal Perez, Whit Merrifield, I mean, Soler with a huge K rate. So I don't really see it. The numbers so far this season, pretty dreadful. We talked about them yesterday. The ISO is 0.47 against lefties this season, 2.10 weighted OBA. Admittedly, you've got a pretty small sample size here, you know, that we're looking at. But overall, I think that Chris Sale today, he's my number one guy. He's the guy that I'm paying up for and not really thinking too much about it. Super strong favorite as well tonight. We've got, what, 278 in this game, an implied run total of under 3 for the Royals. So I'm on board with Chris Sale tonight. I didn't even mention Clayton Kershaw as well on this slate. And where we go with SP2 is interesting. We've got Scherzer. He's minus 248 against Pittsburgh at home. We've got Kershaw, who's 196 on the road in Arizona. And we also have Noah Syndergaard, minus 179, favorite at home against the Atlanta Braves. And Justin Verlander, minus 165, favorite there at home against the Yankees. Now, the interesting thing is, all those great pitching options, the third biggest favorite is, the second biggest favorite is Scherzer, but the third biggest favorite in the day is actually Michael Wacha today against the Chicago White Sox. We'll talk about it in a minute, but, you know, if I'm looking on these other high-end guys, I think you're splitting hairs here a little bit. Scherzer, I think, is super safe. There's no question about it. But he's also the most expensive. So that makes lineup building a tad bit tougher when he is at 12.7 and you can go almost 2,000 down and get Syndergaard. You can go 1,000 less and get Verlander. And we didn't even talk about Chris Archer yet. We'll get to him in the Wacha conversation. And then Kershaw against Arizona is an interesting one because he, you know, has looked pretty miserable so far this season. There's no question about it. I think there is a little bit of maybe pride on the line after that last start where he got bombed against Miami in a game where he was literally one of the largest favorites I've ever seen in baseball at, what, minus 400, which is just kind of insane to see. But he is in a pretty good hitting or pitching environment here against Arizona. Definitely, we're starting to see the humidor take effect. Yes, last night we had a ton of runs scored. AJ Pollock hit 3 home runs. But Kershaw, he actually fanned 12 Arizona Diamondbacks the last time he faced them. Now, the game prior to that, he only had 6. But, you know, definitely has some strikeout upside here versus this lineup. So I'm okay if you want to try and get Kershaw today at, you know, 11.9. That's, again, almost a full 1,000 less than you're getting on Max Scherzer today. If you can upgrade, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think he's dust by any measure. And I think Scherzer, there's no question. Like, this guy has been just an absolute stud. Double-digit Ks in 3 of his last 4 starts. Has not had less than 7 in a single start so far this season. Everything is kind of on point for him, and there's a ton of safety there. I think he's going to get the W today against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And maybe on FanDuel, I think that weighs in a little bit more to your decision than on DraftKings. But I think that Kershaw bounces back here a little bit, and I think we're going to get him at lower ownership. Again, no ownership projections are out yet. I'll be curious where they fall today. I think it's going to be fascinating to see where these numbers come in at. Verlander against New York, obviously huge strikeout upside. There's no question about it, and he has been, you know, one of the best in the league. You just look at fantasy points per game this season on DraftKings, for example, and he is, 28 versus Scherzer's 32. And 28 is 6 more than Syndergaard, it's 11 more than Kershaw, and it's 5 more than Sale. So he has been super consistent this season. I worry a little bit about facing this Yankees lineup, who obviously is still extremely potent here, and we'll see if they decide to open up the roof again like they did yesterday. Didn't result in really a whole lot of runs being scored. I think the Astros only scored 2, but You look at that number, minus 165, not nearly as strong as some of these other places here tonight. So I'm probably going to just reserve him for tournament use only. And I think I'd actually prefer Noah Syndergaard over him. And I think that, you know, with Ronald Acuna, who is absolutely a legit, you know, prospect, and we've seen some really impressive things from him early on, I like him a little bit more than I do, I think, Verlander today, because that Braves lineup, Albies, Acuna, Freeman up top, that's scary. I mean, those are three big bats, but you're also got Acuna, who's still so young, and there are going to be strikeouts to be had there, because sometimes these young guys come up and press, and Syndergaard has arguably been, like, when you look at the numbers, one of the most dominant pitchers we've had this season. But then you got Marquez, Suzuki, Swanson, Flaherty, Enciarte, pitcher spot. I think Syndergaard is probably going to be my number three option there. And I think you can even put him in the same level there as Clayton Kershaw in terms of my potential kind of number two there, because one's at 11.9, one's at 11.7. So I'm probably going to take those guys over Scherzer and one's at 11.9, and then Syndergaard's down at 10.8. So I think Syndergaard's right up there for me, and I'm probably going to be interchanging a bunch of these guys in tournaments and then in cash games. I think it's Sale, and I haven't worked the build yet, but it's probably Syndergaard or Kershaw as my number two. I just don't think you can go 12.4, 12.7 in your lineups today. Maybe you can in cash, but I'm a little bit leery and finding enough value to make that work. Now in the middle tier, we talked about Michael Wacha going against the Chicago White Sox. Now he's not a huge strikeout guy, but maybe not as bad as I think maybe the reputation precedes him. Looking at this season, last start against the New York Mets, he had 8 strikeouts there, had 3 against Cincinnati, 5 against Cincinnati, 5 against Arizona, and then 2 against the Mets in the first start. I'll be really curious to see where Vegas checks in on his K-prop today. So we'll keep our eye out for that when it drops. But you look at this matchup here against the Chicago White Sox, and again, the wonderful plate IQ tool that we have sets it up so nicely. So far this season, you have a K-rate of 39% on Mankata, 33% on Matt Davidson, 25% on Beef Castillo, and then you add the pitcher spot, so we can probably throw that in at another 30-plus percent with James Shields. There are going to be some strikeouts to be had. Now, the problem you run into here as well is that, you know, a guy like Mankata, if he makes contact here, he hits the ball really hard and usually really, really far. The same kind of goes with Jose Abreu. And, you know, so far this season versus righties, you got a 428 ISO for Mankata, a 369 for Abreu, a 397 for Davidson, a 393 for Castillo. So it's an all or nothing offense so far this season, is exactly kind of what we've seen. And I want to take a quick look and see how these guys rank against the changeup over the last couple seasons, because that's kind of the other pitch that you will see Wacha end up going to outside of that fastball. You know, this season it's to the tune of almost 25%. And let's see here. We've got a 48% whiff rate on Mankata. That makes me feel pretty good on that pitch. Now, again, smaller sample size because he hasn't seen, you know, a ton of them, but this data does stem from the beginning of last season. Abreu, 42% hard contact, only a 28% whiff rate, and a 450 wOBA. So he and even, you know, Matt Davidson to a point where he's a 67% contact rate. Those are the power guys where if you want to, you know, hope this offense gets going, I don't know if it's Mankata is the guy that I'm looking at, but it could be an Abreu or maybe a Matt Davidson. But definitely some strikeout upside here in Wacha. I think he's in play as your SP2. But I actually also think that, you know, Chris Archer here against Detroit is definitely in a matchup that I'm interested in here today, because this Detroit lineup, when you take Miguel Cabrera out of it, it leaves a lot to be desired, and he opens up as a 145 road favorite, and I'll see where that kind of changes. Now, you're pitching in the American League, so you don't have the pitcher spot. Like, that's a huge advantage for guys like Kershaw and Syndergaard and Scherzer today, where, you know, they get it not only an easy out, but potentially an easier strikeout than, you know, Chris Archer is going to face. So that's something to factor in, but it's also, you know, kind of baked in that salary. One of the things I wanted to look at or go over today was the kind of history versus some of these pitchers versus these hitters, because we have a pretty decent kind of track record to look at today. And Michael Wacha, again, very small sample size, but 8 strikeouts in the 17 at-bats he's had against the Chicago White Sox hitters here today. So a really nice K rate on him tonight. Scherzer against the Pirates in 73 at-bats, you're looking at a 35% K rate. Archer at a 30% K rate. And again, Archer, if you look at the numbers, pretty good against this Detroit team. And the guy who's got really good BVP is, again, Mr. Cabrera. So if he does not crack the lineup today, that's going to even make these numbers that much more impressive. So I definitely think he is intriguing today at 8,700. A Kershaw 30% K rate against Arizona in 196 at-bats. We've got Verlander 27% K rate in 130 at-bats. Sale 27% K rate in 304 at-bats. So pretty big sample size on all these guys. So I think that's something to give yourself a little bit of a look at here today in terms of starting pitching. Now, on the cheap, because I do think there's a case to be made that we potentially might want to pay down in one of the other spots here today to at least kind of build some differentiating lineups here today with guys like Bryce Harper, who is in a complete smash spot tonight against Chad Kuhl, against Mike Trout, with Alex Cobb. There's definitely some bats today we can want, you know, get into our lineups that you're going to get at probably the lowest ownership of the entire season, because more than there's just a plethora of high dollar pitching out there that you're not going to get these guys in your lineups. So, if they hit 2 home runs and you have multiple guys who are in the high end and you get a 20 fantasy point pitching performance from a guy under 7K, that's a pretty good spot to be in, because you're going to be building a lot of different lineups, because these value guys, it's going to be really chalky with them because everybody's going to be going there. So keep that in mind when you're building your lineups tonight. So my cheap guys that I'm looking at here potentially tonight, I've got Trapiano on my list today at 6,400. Again, looking at his numbers, he is absolutely, you know, really dominated this Baltimore lineup, allowing only 4 hits and 31 at-bats with 10 strikeouts against them, against these hitters. So Trapiano's been on the money. He's only 6,300. He had one start earlier this season where he went for 26 fantasy points against Kansas City. His last two starts have come against Boston and Houston, like two of the best offensive teams out there. And yeah, he gave up 4 runs and 5 earned runs. But Baltimore is not that offense. They're starting to hit the ball a little bit better today. And you got a question in terms of like how deep is Trapiano really going to go in this game. But can he sneak 20 fantasy points for you tonight? I don't think it's an impossibility today. And again, we're talking only tournaments. And we're talking about getting big bats. And he's a 178. The Angels are a 178 favorite today against Baltimore. So I think Trapiano is a sneaky guy to look at. And the other guy I'm going with today is Andrew Suarez for the San Francisco Giants, going against the Padres. The Padres against lefties so far this season, the 4th highest K rate at 26.5%. So I think we do get some strikeout upside here on Suarez, who I believe it was his last start. Let me bring that up here. Ended up, pitching 5 innings. Yeah, his first start of the season, 5 innings, and did give us 7 Ks. Certainly, get, you know, 4 earned runs is not great. Giving up 2 home runs is not great. But still finished with 15 fantasy points despite that. Now he gets San Diego, a great park to pitch in. And, you know, his numbers as a minor leaguer, I think he can scratch across 7 to 8 strikeouts here in a start. So he is dirt cheap today over there at 5,400. So if you're trying to find pitchers in the cheap seats, he's probably my preferred choice down here against San Diego. Obviously, the Padres, I think they ended up hitting the ball pretty well last night. Scratch across five runs, but that's not typically something that we're going to see here. And yeah, I think he is my other cheap guy that I'm looking at. All right, now we move on to the bats today. And again, if you're playing on Fantasy Draft, which we hope you do because they're our fine sponsor, I played over there unsuccessfully, might I add. Today we're going to try again, do a little bit better. Tonight, you don't need a catcher over there, but on DraftKings you do. On FanDuel you don't really. And if you're playing on FanDuel or Fantasy Draft, I'd probably prefer not to use one because catchers right now pretty abysmal for you. Now on your high end, again, these guys aren't going to be very popular because you're not going to spend up. You know, Real Muto against Zach Eflin. I think the Miami Marlins are kind of interesting here against Eflin. And, you know, Real Muto has just been money in the bank so far this season with a 501 WOBA, 412 average, 294 ISO versus right-handed pitching. Again, small sample size alert, but he's been pretty good in his career. Bats lead off. That's what you like. But the problem is, like, where else are we going today? In that middle three range, which we're going to have to live in, we're going to need some under 3K crappers as well on DraftKings to fit in big pitching and cash games. Wilson Ramos is probably the guy that I'm looking at here against Matt Boyd. Solid versus lefties, and a guy who is 3,600 batting cleanup for an offense that has really, you know, been hitting the ball pretty well over the last couple of weeks. They've won, like, 10 out of their last 11 or something like that. So Wilson Ramos at 3,600, a name that's popping for me. Molina against Shields is fine, but again, a little bit higher price at 3,900 makes that tough to swallow. So I don't know that I can quite go there. If you're not playing Waka as your SP2, Wellington Castillo has hit righties just fine this season, 367 WOBA, the ISO at 231. But if you're going crappers today, and I'm talking like 3K or less, there's not a lot to love. I mean, Evan Gattis, maybe against Jordan Montgomery. Montgomery, not quite as good in numbers away from home over the last over his career. So maybe this is a spot for Houston. I don't love it, but at 3K, at least you got upside on him. You know, Kyle Hendricks, you got Chris Iannetta, looks like the wind blowing out in Wrigley. And that's going to, you know, Wrigley's an interesting spot today because everybody's going to bail after the failure last night. The wind, according to Roth, is stronger. The humidity is higher. And so it's a better hitting environment than we had last night. And, you know, the Cubs stacks, which were, what, 25-30% yesterday, are probably going to be below 5% today simply because of the high dollar pitching. So keep that in mind if you're going contrarian at starting pitching today. And Contreras against Gray, I don't hate him in that five hole at 3,800. If there's a 2K crapper at catcher, I'm not really seeing it. I probably would go with Manny Pena. And big shout out to our boy Eric Crane last night, who, watching the Happy Hour show, sponsored by Fantasy Draft, might I add, he called the Manny Pena home run. That's quite the home run to call. He's 2,500. He gets Homer Bailey tonight, who I absolutely am happy to pick on. I wanted to say Martin Maldonado because I think that's a sneaky high total out there for the Angels tonight. Team total is like 5.5, I think. Maldonado's 0 for his last 30. Like, that is awful. How do you go that long without getting a hit? But cold streaks aren't real. But I guess they're just not predictive. So maybe today he turns it around. He's 2,300. Maybe in a stack if you want to, you know, get some Trout into your lineup. But definitely not in any sort of cash game, I think. All right, over at first base, I think we're going to find some chalk here with a number of guys. And, you know, I think it kind of depends a little bit on where you're playing today. Because on FanDuel, he's priced up a little bit, but on DraftKings and on Fantasy Draft, I mean, he's 6,600 on Fantasy Draft. I'm talking about Justin Smoke today against Kyle Gibson. Great platoon for him here today against righties. A 327 WOBA, 241 ISO, had a home run last night, and he's 3,400 on DK. So he's a guy who's popping for me. Jose Martinez versus James Shields. It's exactly the type of pitcher I want to take. Martinez against Shields is trash. And I think Martinez can take him deep today. He's only 3,600. But again, over on FanDuel, he's at 37. So you're paying like market price, 75 over on DK. Yeah, or on FanDraft. And the wonderful thing about FanDraft, we can play a bunch of these guys over there with their infield, outfield, utility designations. Justin Bour, he's been out of the lineup the last couple days. If he returns, moderately priced today at 3,200. So I've got my eye on him. If you're playing on FanDuel tonight, he's outfielder there, but Ryan Braun against Homer Bailey is a sign-me-up-for-it situation. Only 3,300 over there on FanDuel. On DK, he's 43, Fantasy Draft 82. Again, BVP, not something that I use in its own, but you know, by itself, but a guy who's owned Homer Bailey for his career, 16 for 47, four doubles, four home runs. So far against Homer Bailey. It should set up pretty well for Ryan Braun once again tonight against just not a very good pitcher there. Let me see if there's any other first baseman that I am looking strongly at. CJ Cron against the lefty in Matt Boyd. He's been just great against lefties this season. ISO over 300, a 504 weighted OBA, 424 average this season, and limited sample size. But even going back to last year, he's been just fine against lefty. So he is under 4K option. And those are the guys I want to talk about a little bit. And Matt Adams, I think if there's your guy on FanDuel today, 2K on FanDuel, 36 on DraftKings, and Chad Kuhl is just awful versus lefties. If you look to the since the beginning of last season, Chad Kuhl has a 381 WOBA and a 223 ISO, an average exit velocity of 89.5 miles per hour. And he's basically red in every single category outside of K percentage, which is at 22.5%. But the walk rate at 12%, fly ball rate at 40%, hard contact at 38%. If you're not using our new conditional formatting, you need to be a premium subscriber to get it. It makes it very easy to see which handedness of hitter a pitcher is good or bad against. He is bad against lefties. Matt Adams cracks that lineup tonight. You're firing him, and I think it's going to put Bryce Harper squarely in play today against Chad Kuhl. And Bryce Harper is a guy who I think is going to be really tough to fit in your lineup. So I'll be curious to see where he ends up ownership-wise tonight. One more middle tier first baseman for you, Carlos Santana today at 3,800 against Jarlin Garcia, who I've talked about. I'm not a big Jarlin Garcia guy. He's kind of gotten lucky on a couple of occasions. Pitched well this last start against the Dodgers. He gave up or had seven strikeouts that day, but he has definitely Let me look him up real quick. See where his, because last time his Sierra versus his ERA was ridiculous. Okay, ERA of 1, an xFIP of 460. That's not particularly good. We've got a Sierra of 4.72 versus an ERA of 1. Yeah, Philadelphia could definitely be a spot. I thought it was going to be last start versus the Dodgers. Some of these numbers would normalize. Maybe it's this start against Philadelphia for Mr. Jarlin Garcia. Okay, continuing on to second base here tonight. And, you know, the curious case of Jose Altuve starting to hit a little bit better. There's no question about that. And he gets Jordan Montgomery tonight. He's not going to fit in your, you know, stud pitcher builds today. But you look at his stats so far this season versus lefties, and you're looking at an ISO of 071, a weighted OBA of 292. Just hasn't been particularly great so far this season versus lefties. Those numbers are going to normalize here very soon, and potentially it happens tonight. So if you've got $5K to spend on second base, I certainly wouldn't mind him one bit here tonight. But the problem is most people probably are not going to have that to spend at second base. So we're going to look to guys like Matt Carpenter today against James Shields. Moderate salary on him tonight on DraftKings at 36, FanDuel at 31, Fantasy Draft at 7,600. So like him a good bit tonight. Jace Peterson, not a guy I love to play, but he's 5,100 on Fantasy Draft, 26 on DraftKings, and he's batting second in the lineup. So a lot of times lineup order makes a huge difference, and he's actually been just good enough over the last few games. He's got stolen bases in three of the last four, and he has been 9-9-17-4-7. Like at 2,600, like that's all you're hoping you scrape across if you're playing the big-time starting pitchers today. So I think he's going to drive some ownership at under 3K today on DraftKings and on Fantasy Draft as well. Let's see if there's anybody else that's popping. I don't mind Zach Cozart today against Alex Cobb. Kind of hits low in the order, but that price, I think, is right in the range that we can be looking at today at 3,500. And just to give you some context here, if you wanted to put Sale and Syndergaard together, you're at 3,350 at every single position on average. If you put Sale and Scherzer today, you're at 3,100. So even if you throw a Jace Peterson in there at under 3K, then you're still right at like 3,100 per position. So I think going down to Syndergaard gives you a little bit more meat on that bone to play with today. But that gives you an idea where you're living here today with each position. And that's in that middle 3K kind of territory. So yeah, I think Carpenter's, again, probably my favorite guy. Looking at Starlin Castro a little bit today against Zach Eflin today. Nice game for him last night. I just don't think Eflin's particularly good. And he's bats third in that lineup at 3K. Again, fits the build. That is probably all I got at this second base position. Let's move it on over to third. And again, you can move Jace Peterson over there. On Fantasy Draft, doesn't really matter. Same with Matt Carpenter. So you can actually play both of those kind of cheap options in your middle infield and potentially move on. I do think that, you know, looking to pay up a little bit is not the worst potential move for us here, because I think everybody's going to be off of Chris Bryant today versus John Gray. And again, I've got no problem using him versus a righty. He's 5K, and I think most people are going to jam pitchers in. So on a contrarian side of things, going up and getting Chris Bryant is absolutely fine. In the cash game side of things, you're probably living in that middle range like I talked about with Peterson, Carpenter. A few other names, Matt Duffy, 3K against Boyd, probably leading off here today. That's where we got him projected. And he is, again, moderate salary for us so far. He's been pretty darn good the last couple of days. Let's see. Fantasy points now in, let's count it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I think, consecutive games. He has been giving you positive fantasy points, and not a bad little spot for him today in terms of the matchup versus Boyd. Todd Frazier versus a lefty, I don't mind. Jed Jerko versus James Shields, I actually really, really like. So he's 3,400 if he cracks the lineup today. We'll see if that happens. Pedro Alvarez had a couple of home runs the other day. Gets Trapiano today. He's just incredible versus in day games. Night games, not so much, but four home runs for him in the last three games. He's cheap if you want to go there at 3,400, but not where I'm looking. Okay, moving on to the shortstop position next. And this is not a spot that I'm falling in love with here. Brandon Crawford, my guy today on the cheap today at 2,800 against Tyson Ross. Maybe, I guess. He's under that 3K threshold that we need, so I guess he fits. You can also play RC at that same number if you want to get some Homer Bailey exposure. So there's an option for us. If you know, this might even be the spot you just pay up in one spot and take a guy like Manny Machado today, who feels like, you know, the overall best play for us at this position. Didi Gregorius has been absolutely mashing, but taking him against Verlander, I don't think that's a path to potential profitability today. I don't hate Eduardo Escobar. There's a guy for you at 3,700 against Marco Estrada. Fly ball pitcher there, 39 on FanDuel, 77 on Fantasy Draft, And another guy who, you look at the fantasy point production for him, he's got, looks like 8 fantasy points or more in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 out of his last 11 games. He's given you 8 fantasy points or more, which you will take, especially at this position, which leaves a lot to be desired. So I like Escobar. Probably would prefer him a little bit more than Peraza going against Chase Anderson today, but both those guys hitting in pretty good lineup spots. Can't go wrong with the Correa. He's been mashing lefties this year. 419 weighted OBA for him, but he's 4,900. Good luck if you're spending that pitching. Okay, last position for us is going to be the outfield. And, you know, Derek Dietrich versus Zach Eflin, definitely kind of bat that I'm looking to roster here. As you can tell, I'm fine with this Miami offense today just because they're cheap and they do fit what we're trying to do. Chris Taylor against Matt Koch. You got that said right. So 3,800 for him against Arizona. Great lineup order, batting leadoff. I think he's great in cash games, fits what we're looking to do. And maybe same with Trey Mancini at 3.6K against Trapiano. But if I'm choosing between those two, give me Taylor for 200 more. Talked about Delmonico, pretty decent numbers versus that, I think, that changeup of Waka. And he is 3,100. So if you're not playing Waka, he is a guy to keep your eye on potentially tonight. Love some Marcelo Zuna under 4K. He's 38. He's probably, you know, he and Taylor are those guys who, if you find one 2K crapper, you can fit him into your lineups there with Syndergaard and Sale today. And I think that's definitely a good idea against James Shields, who should be giving up a couple of home runs tonight. Bryce Harper, I talked about those numbers again versus lefties for Chad Kuhl. So take advantage of that one if you're paying down at pitching today. More middle tier guys for us. Let's see, man, there's not, Perella potentially batting cleanup against Suarez. I do like Suarez. I don't like that ballpark, but 3,100, reasonable enough for us to give him a look today. If Noel Cuevas is in the lineup today and the wind's blowing out against Hendricks, it's not my favorite play, but he's legitimately min salary 2K crapper on DraftKings. And on Fantasy Draft, we can get him at 4,100, which opens up everything. So that's strictly a weather kind of play for us. And, you know, probably going to see David Dahl in the lineup instead of him, who they at least priced up, which thank you for that. You know, Kyle Schwarber today, again, against John Gray, 455 WOBA against righties. Gray has been all over the map, so I've got no problem with Schwarber. And I was looking at some of the numbers on, John Gray against the Chicago Cubs, allowed 8 hits and 21 at-bats, including a double, triple, and a home run, and only one, let's count it, one strikeout against the Chicago Cubs. So they're going to make contact on a windy day. Like I said, Cubs could be a nice little contrarian option for you. Let's see. Grigor Blanco, keep your eye on him if he leads off today for San Francisco. Again, if you're leading off and you're 2,200 and you've got a pulse, I'll probably give you deep consideration in my lineups today. So he's a guy who kind of fits that build tonight. All right, let's quickly jump into NBA for you tonight. Only a 2-gamer. So we'll talk about Cleveland, Toronto, New Orleans, Golden State. We'll kind of go game by game here on the Cleveland-Toronto side of things. I'm a little worried about LeBron James. I probably shouldn't be because I don't know if he's human. He's just literally has to put this team on his back. But my worry is this, is Toronto's just a much better team. And I think that LeBron's going to pick his spots when he's going to go into full freak mode. And I don't know if game one is the spot to pick. And I say that because he even acknowledged how gassed he was after that last game. Now, yeah, he's going to have a day and a half of rest. He's LeBron James. But ultimately, it's going to catch up to you. And I don't know if he's going to view it like game one is the one that I need to kind of go all out on. I think he'd rather. And it sounds weird because, yes, he's going to go all out. But I just don't think he can play like 45 minutes every single night. I don't think he can do it. So at 11-9 tonight, I don't know if he's the guy to go with. And it's strange to say because I think there's definite blowout potential here. We've got Toronto team who's had plenty of time to rest versus a Cleveland team, mainly LeBron James, who hasn't. And if we get a blowout situation like we saw against Indiana, he only played in that game six, he only scored 44 fantasy points. That's not good enough, clearly, at 11-9. So if you're playing FanDuel, you kind of have to play him. I was looking at the lineup build over there, and the small forward, you know, the positional non-flexibility they have over there, the rest of the small forward sucks. You just kind of have to play LeBron. But on DraftKings, I don't think you have to play him at 11-9. It's just a matter of how close you think this game is going to be. You know, Vegas, let me quickly bring up our lineups page and see what we got on this game here tonight. Toronto is, you know, favored by 7 here in this first game, about 7.5 against the Cavs. That's a pretty big number here. So that's my concern, is he might just, I don't want to say tank it, but at some point in time, wave the white flag for game one and then come back in full LeBron mode in game two. So I don't think I'm going to make him a core play on DraftKings today. It's hard not to play him there on FanDuel. Looking at the other guys in this game, you know, Lowry and DeRozan right in, you know, below 8K today. I expect these guys to play well. Cleveland leaves a lot to be desired defensively. Valanciunas, you got to love that he's been over 30 minutes each of the last two games, and they won those against Washington, and he's played well. I think Dwayne Casey's going to rely on him again here. Might not have to, because Cleveland certainly is not that big. You know, they don't have, I mean, Tristan Thompson's there, but he's not even that big. So that's a little bit of a concern there, but I think the price is still plumb enough for us to go down there. If you're playing on FanDuel today, Tristan Thompson at 2K, it's hard not to build a lineup without him in it at that price point. It will keep you from getting Anthony Davis over there. So if you want Davis, you can't play him and Thompson together because they're both centers. And I don't know if he'll play 35 minutes today, but I definitely see Ty Lue going back to Tristan Thompson at 4,600 on DraftKings. I think a lot of people will play him. I feel like that price is actually pretty fair, maybe a little bit too cheap, could potentially be in that 5K range, but he's fine if you need guys down there. You know, George Hill, I'm not buying it. I'd rather probably play a J.R. Smith. I know I'm going to get 35 minutes from him. I think Ibaka, you know, things didn't break right for him the last couple of games. 23 minutes, 14 and 6.5 fantasy points. So I don't mind him at the price decrease. He's only 5K over there. But Toronto, again, they play really, really deep. They're not afraid to play Siakam and Poeltl. And clearly, you know, we saw it there with Valanciunas. You know, he played extra minutes those last two games. So keep that in mind. If you're playing Valanciunas, you're probably not playing Ibaka. If you're playing Ibaka, probably shouldn't be playing Valanciunas. Kevin Love is so cheap, 6,400. He opened the series there against Indiana at 76, so his salary has dropped 1,300 in seven games. Rightfully so, though. He's only been over 30 fantasy points in one of them, and that was game one. This could be a spot where it's a new series. Things change. They know that they need to rely on him a little bit more, but his shooting has just been so awful. 3 for 10, 2 for 11, 2 for 10, even 5 for 12 last game isn't particularly great. The one thing you can say, in the regular season, he played pretty well in this matchup, averaging 38 DraftKings points in the three games, including 8 for 13 from three-point range. So I'm not afraid to go back to Kevin Love here in tournament lineups, and you could maybe even make the argument LeBron seeds a little bit off to Kevin Love here today. All right, New Orleans and Golden State. We got Steph Curry returning. He's, I think, a plug and play today at his salary tonight. I think you can make the argument you don't play him on FanDuel just because of, again, the build. You're just stuck in terms of where you're going with guys, and you can get Rondo for like 2K cheaper there and, you know, potentially get you better players at other positions. So, but on DraftKings, I think he's probably a core play at just 8,500. We're not supposed to have any sort of minute restriction on him. So look for full steam ahead on Steph Curry. You know, Anthony Davis at 10-7, what is he, a full 1,000 cheaper than LeBron James? 11-9 versus 10-7, so 1,200. I think I'm probably taking Davis here. You know, this is, you know, not a must-win game by any standard. That's going to be game three if they lose this one, but I expect him to give a little bit better effort than we saw. Only 4 free throws in that last game, only 10 rebounds, and just 21 points. They need him to get a little bit more aggressive. So, you know, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, you know, definitely bring more problems than he had there against Portland tonight. But this is a I've got nothing to lose type game. I look for Anthony Davis to step up and play really well. We saw Draymond Green go absolutely ham last game with the triple-double, 16, 15, and 11. Played only 30 minutes and got there because, well, it was a blowout. And he's been about the, one of the safest guys we've had in this entire playoffs. 45, 40, 45, 53, 64. The one game where he had 27, I've talked about it before, got in big foul trouble early on that day. I don't think that's going to happen potentially here tonight. You, there might be some correlation between playing Davis and not playing Draymond Green and hoping that he does get in a little bit of foul trouble. I don't think you have to consider that, but you know he definitely gave Davis a handful in that last game. In terms of cheapies here today, man, there's not a lot for us to potentially go to here that I'm overly confident about. You know, Jrue Holiday, I just don't love this matchup here with Klay Thompson. And I guess that's the argument you could make against Steph Curry today is that Holiday will, in likelihood, step up his D. They really do it against Klay Thompson last game. 22, 10 of 22. 42 fantasy points for Thompson in that game one. So if they slide him over to Curry, maybe he has a little bit more luck with him like he did against Damian Lillard during the regular season. So far this year, though, we were 49 fantasy points for Steph Curry in the three games against New Orleans. I don't mind Rondo here today. I think he's a guy that probably needs to play a pile of minutes. Probably is going to be giving you all the assists and rebounds and doing what he does best. So I'm fine with him. They need him to play big. 7,300 on DraftKings. I think he's a similar price over there on FanDuel. I don't want to play Etuan Moore. If I'm going in the cheap seats, maybe it's a Darius Miller today. He had 24 fantasy points last game, and he didn't shoot the ball particularly well. Got you enough in the other categories, which I think makes him a little bit interesting. Ian Clark also played 28 minutes. Again, that was kind of a blowout, but he didn't do really much of anything in that time. So give me Miller over Clark if I'm going to be down in the 3K range here today. And I don't even hate Klay Thompson. I mean, are we going to see Rondo on Klay, or are we going to see Jrue Holiday on Klay? I think we're going to see Rondo on Klay. So I think that maybe everybody goes to Steph, and Klay continues to have a pretty good game. He's been just pretty outstanding at home so far in the playoffs, and that's where this game is. 5 games against this team, 37 fantasy points per game, 22 of 40 from three-point range. So he has been outstanding. Strong favorites again today, but if you want to live in that middle tier, I like Klay better than Mirotić tonight. All right, that's it. I'm done. Thanks again for giving us a listen, a download. Check out Fantasy Draft. Use that promo code Grinders. Pay it forward a little bit. And as always, leave us a comment either on the podcast page on Roto Grinders. iTunes is even better. If you give us a 5-star review, leave me a nice comment. I check those out from time to time. Means a lot. And do know, I'm returning tonight to Sirius XM. We've got STL Cardinals in me breaking down the both the MLB and NBA slate once again. We'll have lineups. We'll have more information for you, so you can check that out if you are a XM subscriber. If not, plenty of Grinders live for you. Crunch time with Kevin Roth as well, right before roster lock. So we got you covered here on RG. But thanks again for being a part of what I do, what we do at Roto Grinders. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, and good luck tonight. See you, everybody.